David King is a pastor and a missionary in his second career, and he also is a biblical counselor, and he is a friend to many. He pastored for many years in Maine, a successful growing church, and then in his second career went to be a missionary in Ukraine, where John and Jane are, and became John and Jane's closest friends on the field. And now he's back here serving in the United States. He's been for many years also a biblical counselor and has taught that and continues to teach that when the Lord gives him opportunity. Those from our church who've had the privilege of going to Ukraine and serving there on short-term mission trips know that David is just as genuine as they come. Most of you know me, and you know that I'm type A, maybe type double A. I can't keep up with David. He's triple A. It's just an amazing experience to be with him, because I just don't have that very often, being with someone that moves at one gear higher than I do. But more important than that, David loves the Lord, and he's coming to share God's word with us.
Doble utro. Good morning. Or something like that. It's great to be here. Is this a service that John and Jane might watch? Hey, John and Jane, love you, miss you. Can't wait to see you. Anyway, it's good to be here with you folks this morning, and our hearts were blessed by the worship. I was in tears. Wow. I can't imagine what it's going to be like when we're singing Worthy is the Lamb. Wow. Just powerful. Well, we're here because we're on our way to Send Family Conference down in Stonefield or Stone in a Field or someplace down in Farmington, and to meet all of our missionaries. And we can't wait to get back to Maine to keep on building teams and ministry for the work in Ukraine. I've been set back for over a year now with a hole in my leg that I suffered a sunburn while we were celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary. Some people gave us a gift to go to St. John in the Caribbean. Can you believe that? And I had an old ski scar from skiing up in Squaw Mountain, up in northwestern Maine, when I pastored a church up there. And that burn was right on there and created a hole, and it got infected. I've had two PICC lines, MRSA twice. Our sovereign God is amazing. He knows how to set us down, turn us down, so we can gear up to serve Him. I thank the Lord for this wound, although it is beginning to be an irritation. The Lord willing, we'll head back to Ukraine in October 5th. We've been building a team. We thought we had 15, but God is sifting it, and now we're down to 8. But God has raised up about $10,000 for materials to help build the seminary in Kiev where I teach, and where Jane now assists in the Christian Education Department with Luda. Just an amazing thing that's happening. We've built this big seminary. We've raised about $3 million, but it needs $2 million, but it needs more to finish it. They can't hire people to do it because the cost is too high. But if we send teams, we can finish the walls in that big frame. Brick and mortar. How many can do that? How many can mix mortar? How many can lay bricks? How many can just stand there and say, pass those guys another brick? Yeah, exactly. And how many of you have an active, updated passport? Put your hand up. Cool. How many of you do not have a passport that's active? Raise your... You could be out of God's will. You're not ready. You got to be ready. Anyway, there's so many things that I'd like to talk about in the time that I have, but time goes by awful fast. The passage on the board was wrong. The scripture that was read was correct. That's all we want, to hear the word. This is a marvelous account of Jesus and his disciples. I love the accounts where Jesus is involved with boats and water. I've had two boats in my life. They both sank. But I love it because they're so picturesque. They're so real. There's so much about us. And here in this account, it's the whole chapter we have to look at. John just lost his head for the gospel. And Jesus in the next section has been teaching and preaching to the people, had compassion on them. He always has compassion on people. That's what triggers excitement and triggers us to go beyond ourselves. And he'd been teaching these 5,000 men, in addition, men, women and children. A lot of people, it comes toward the end of the day, and the disciples say, "Master, Master, it's getting late. We got to send these people in the town so they can find a McDonald's and eat because we don't have anything for them." Well, what do you got? Resources. Well, we got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So, start feeding those people. What? They start feeding them. Guess what? They fed them all. And they had enough left for themselves. Next scene, Jesus dismisses the people after a good meal. And he says to the disciples, "Hey, I want you to get in the boat and go to the other side of the sea. I'm going to pray." He's a sovereign God. He's in control. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows about everything he's called us to do and what we will face. And he sends us to see if we'll trust him. This whole passage is about resources. Who's the source of our resources? Well, anyway, he sends them out on the sea, and of course he waits till they get out there just enough to get in trouble. The wind is blowing. The waves are high. The disciples are doing what they do best. They're afraid. You ever been out in the sea when there's about 10 foot swells in a little boat? That's frightening. And in the midst of all of this, Jesus comes walking to them on the water. They're already scared stiff because they think they're going to die. Their focus is inward, not upward and outward. Jesus comes walking on the water. "It's a ghost!" "Now, calm down. It's me." They recognize him. Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you." And Jesus said, "Come." He gets out of the boat, and he starts walking to Jesus. He's doing great as long as his focus is upward and outward. Focus is on Jesus, not on himself, not on the condition. He does great. And then, the wind, the waves, the water. And Jesus reaches out as he does to us all the time. Picks us up, shakes us off, sets us down, and we keep going. What a story. What a story. I love it. Gee, the big picture here is about faith. The big picture is about trusting God. Not our own resources, not ourselves, and believing that where God puts us, he provides everything we need to do the job. He put us there with our inabilities. He put us there with all the things that we think we can't do. He enables us to make us so we can do. I love it. So, the title of this sermon is, yeah, the wind is blowing, the waves are high, we're in the church. How many of us are still in the boat? What's keeping us in the boat? Is it because our focus is incorrect? Our focus is most always right here. Agreed? How many have a focus that's inward this morning? One indication, I'm hungry, when is this over? I've been up all night. I'm thinking about trials and troubles at home, trials and troubles at work, and I'm sinking. I have no joy. I've lost my joy. I've lost my peace. Where's your focus? Who is it on? What God has called us to is supernatural. It's superhuman. It can't be done by us. It can only be done by him. Fed the 5,000, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. He can provide anything. He's the resource. Out on the crashing waves, with all that's going on, he is the one who can carry us and deliver us and lift us up. There's not one thing that God calls us to that He doesn't give us the whole package to enable the calling. John and Jane are good friends of ours. Don't tell them. It goes to their head. They're two of the most godly, humble missionaries I've ever met. They take whatever is handed them. And you think it's not hard? It is hard. They have great desires to serve the Lord. But we've seen great things happen through them because of their willingness to go. They have the gift of helps. John's not a preacher, but he's been preaching. Jane's not a teacher, but she's now helping in the Christian Ed Department. Because God called them to Ukraine. He called them to serve Him. John Piper, I love John Piper. You probably never heard of him. John Piper gives us 8 reasons that we don't get out of the boat. 8 reasons that keeps us in the boat instead of out on the crashing waves. They're not phenomenal. They're just simple things that people say. They're excuses. My uncle said once, the skin of a truth stuffed with a lie. A lie that we tell ourselves. There are, I'm sure, multiple opportunities in this church to serve. There's great needs all over the world in missions. The first one is this. I'm not smart enough. Of course you're not smart enough. Nobody is when it comes to the supernatural, old hands and a tight cap. I need more education, whatever. I'm not smart enough. I thought that. My first year in Bible school. I didn't want to go to Bible school. I wanted to be a pilot. My brother became a pilot. All I do is pilot here and pilot there and pilot over there. That's what he says. I'm not smart enough. My first year in Bible school, my pastor asked me to speak in prayer meeting. My word. Knees were knocking. What am I going to do? I can't do that. I preached on love. That's a great topic. I don't even know what I said. All I remember is this. Old Leonard Wickman, the oldest deacon in church, came up to me and said, David, that's the greatest sermon I've ever heard. It wasn't me. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. God didn't choose the smart people necessarily. He chose us. Consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. How many of you ever felt foolish? Yeah, get ready. Maybe God's going to use you. I'm nothing. I'm nothing without Jesus. All these years of service, I look back and say, what did you do? What does it matter? He makes us smart enough. I'm teaching at a seminary. I don't understand that. I mentor students. I don't understand that. How it happens that God chooses me to do something like that. But He does. What's another one? My body and my personality are not strong enough. I'm 72 years old. I'll be 73 in December. I creak, I squeak, I wobble, and I'm deafer than roadkill. But I can't quit. I'm up here weaving like this is. My granddaughter said to me one day when I first came home from Ukraine and I was walking across the living room, she said, "There goes my wibbly wobbly pop-up." Doesn't matter. I said to the Ted Elder of our church one day, just before I resigned, I said, "Jim, I don't know what I'm going to do. My legs are weak. I'm deaf." He said, "Your mouth still works, doesn't it?" Yeah. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Christ said to me, "Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then am I..." Yeah! Let's go! You know what the important thing is? When we're finished serving Jesus, Mike, when you're finished preaching, when you're finished doing whatever, it's more important that people saw Jesus than they saw you. That they heard Jesus than they heard me. That they saw God work rather than us. We're all concerned about poor me. Oh, was I effective? Oh, did I say the right? Don't worry about that. God gives us strength. God gives us ability. I think of Jane and her knee. She's the most stubborn woman I've ever met. Sorry, Jane. I love you. She won't quit. She's got a knee that had a knee that was killing her. Still is. She still hasn't got it fixed. I told her to have them cut it off and put a new one in there. Keep going. Hobbling. I know so many missionaries. Martin Kocek, one of our recruiters, had two knees redone. They did them wrong. They're froze. He was like this. That's all he could do. He couldn't get up. He couldn't stand up. And he hobbled like this all the time with braces and crutches and walkers and pain pills. He's one of the most effective recruiters Send has. He never quit. And then God gave him new knees. Now he's rolling. It's not about us. It's about Him. It's not about our abilities. It's about what He enables us to do. 3, I'm not a good speaker. How many have ever pulled that one? I bet you can talk at home. I bet you can talk on the phone. I'm not a good speaker. Well, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ should be emptied of its power. Not with words of eloquent wisdom. It's not our job to impress people with what we know. We get education so we can communicate clearly and effectively and correctly. But the power of the message is not from us. It's from God. And if God calls you to go somewhere and do something and open your mouth, wow. And the place to start is across the street. The place to start is across the hall, across the office, across wherever. You're building a new church. You're still doing that? Yeah. How are you going to fill it? Music programs? Well, that'll fill it once in a while. You know how a church is filled? By every one of you talking about Jesus to everyone you know. By setting our hearts apart unto Christ and being ready to give an answer to everyone who asks the reason of the hope that you have. Do it with a quiet and gentle spirit, not a 10-pound Bible over the head. Talking to people. Because if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, He will reveal His fruit. You don't reveal it. You don't grow it. He does. He reveals it. And they see something. And they watch you. And they say, "Why are they so weird?" And one day they'll ask you, "Why are you weird?" "What do you mean?" "Well, you have such a gentleness about you. You're always calm." "You're kidding. You don't know what's going on." but they see his fruit. And they ask. I'm not a good speaker. I got more scripture, but I had to move on. I'm afraid of horrors. I read about it in a newspaper. How many people will not get on an airplane for fear it will crash? Well, they can't be believers. Because believers know where they're going. They know what it's about. They know God's in charge. And if he's called your number and or appointed it before the foundation of the world, guess what? You can have all the parachutes on you what you want. If it's going down, it's going down. Where are you going? Is that where you want to go? Or are you too in love with here? You're too in love with those payments. You're too in love with all this stuff you're gathering. And when they get to be my age, you look at all that stuff and say, what am I going to do with it all? Can't get rid of it. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same kind of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, mend, repair your horribly disfigured body when the lions in the Colosseum are through with you. Strengthen and establish you. When the lions in the Colosseums are through with you, he will restore you. He will get you going. Hey, you got to die of something. Right? I'm afraid I won't be fruitful. That kind of goes along with what I said previously. It's not a responsibility to be fruitful. A responsibility is to be faithful. We don't produce fruit. He does. We are just branches. Our job is to hang there faithfully. Abiding, he produces the fruit. What is the fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's a Christian don't get addicted because they have the fruit of the Spirit and overcome all kinds of obstacles in that area. Wow. He makes us fruitful. And Jesus said the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. He's sleeping. But God's growing it. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the fall, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe at once, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. You know, one of the things about serving in Ukraine, which is where God put us, you never know what's happening. First of all, you don't know the language. You can study it for 4 or 5 years and still don't know the language. There's a culture. You live there and you just scratch your head. You wonder what you're doing. God brought this guy into my life through John. One day John introduced me to Vladimir. Vladimir is a teacher. One day, Vladimir told me, David, I'm a Christian. You know, Jesus loved me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Really? How'd you learn that? Oh, I translate for some missionaries many years ago. Really? Are you a believer? Oh, I am a Christian. I am a Muslim. I am a communist. I'm whenever I need to be, whenever I need to be it. So I try to witness to this guy. You know, my legs wobble. And I'm a different kind of guy. I'm a little crazy. Okay? I admit that. How am I going to get near this guy? Well, he comes to me, he says, Dave, let's go to the cafe. Everybody says, oh, don't go to the cafe. Everybody gets drunk there. Well, if I'm going to reach this guy, I got to go where he is. So we go next door to the little cafe. He sits down there, and he orders maybe 4 vodka shots. What do you want, Dave? You want some vodka? You want some beer? You want some, I don't know what those things are. They're some kind of booze. I said, no, I want some cappuccino. Cappuccino? Yeah, got me a cappuccino. I said, I'm hungry. My wife was away. Nobody's cooking. Oh, let's go to the restaurant in front of the apartment. So we went to the restaurant in front of the apartment. We go in there, and I had a cup of borscht, or a bowl of borscht, and I had some bread, and I'm feeling better. That's good stuff, huh, Vika? And he has more vodka. So I said, Dave, let's go for a walk. And I'm trying to talk to him about the Lord, and I'm trying to tell him how much Jesus loves him, and he needs to be born again, and, you know, just trying to get to know him. I'm not preaching all the time, but every chance I get. He said, how come, Dave? I've had 7 vodkas, and I walk straight as an arrow, and you drink cappuccino, and you weave on it like on a ship of the sea. It's my legs. I just keep going back, and I go to his tailor shop where he teaches English, and I sit there. Every time he's got some kind of thing going with alcohol, but I said, I need tea. Make me some tea. I don't drink. I don't need to drink. I don't understand, Dave. I just want to tell him about Jesus. You know, last year, one of our Canadian personnel was over there, and the missionary took him where my apartment was. And here comes Vladimir up the street, and he comes right. He recognized this guy was a Westerner. Came up, started talking to him. And he's talking a little bit and sort. The missionaries do what they do best. What do? They tell people about Jesus, right? And he said to him, you know King David? He said, yes, I know King David. He told me to do the same thing you told me to do. Go home and read the Gospel of John. God's working. God's working. He bears the fruit. We just plant the seed. God does the rest. We just need to be faithful. Don't worry about fruitfulness. God has a plan. His elect will come to him, but they have to hear the word through us. Well, I'm going to slow down. I like this one. I'm not married. That's a good one, isn't it? That's an excuse. I can't go away because I'm not married. The best spouse is found on the path of obedience. The best spouse is found on the path of obedience. An excellent wife or husband who can find she and he is far more precious than jewels. You just obey God. You get out of the boat. You start moving toward Jesus. You stop being concerned about poor me and finding a perfect spouse. Just go. You'll be amazed at what he will do and who he will bring into your life. So what's keeping you in the boat? Have you had opportunities to serve and you said no? Have you been studying in a congregation like this when a missionary or your pastor challenged you to get out of the boat and get out there for Jesus, and you're still here? When you were a teenager, you went here, you went there, and God used somebody to grip your heart, and you committed to go somewhere, and you're still in the boat? You've had opportunity to teach or to help in the church, and you've been convicted that you should do it, but by the time you got out front, you rationalized and convinced yourself that you didn't need to do that? Who is this about? Who did God save you for? What did God save you for? Has he been speaking to your heart? Get out of the boat and walk toward Jesus. Move toward him. Will you face trouble? I hope so. Will the storms rage? I know so. Will you be afflicted with stuff? You better believe you will. But guess who will reach down and pull you up, dry you off, and set your feet going again? He's the God of all resources. He equips us. He provides for us when there's nothing. He doesn't give up on his kids. He never calls us to where he has no plan to care for us and to use us for his glory. Father in heaven, thank you for this time. Thank you for this example of Peter and Jesus in the boat. Lord, so many of us have got ourselves tied inside the boat, stuck in the boat because we're afraid. We're only thinking about poor me. We're not thinking about you and your call, just thinking about us. Forgive us for that sin. Open our hearts to you. Get us out of the boat, onto the crashing waves, in the midst of the wind. And it'll be okay because you are there as you promised to be. Thank you for what you're doing in Ukraine and around the world with those whom you've called out of the boat to serve you in the name of Jesus. Amen.